Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Temura Daf Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We will be beginning today from the third line from the top of Daf Zayin. Before beginning the shiur, we want to take note of the marking that you see a crown shape. This was referenced in our last shiur as quotes from a Tanaic source that we saw on Daf Vav. We had been discussing the multiple offenses that are associated with one who sanctifies and subsequently offers up a blemished animal as a sacrifice. In that source, from where this is a quote, you'll notice we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a Vav Amud Beis indicator that will tell you to go back to Vav Amud Beis if you want to see where this quote is coming from. Before we actually learn the Gemara itself, let's look at the outside margin where we have the Nosei and Mivneh heading. In this case, we've combined the Nosei topic and Mivneh structural note into one note. In the Shas Ozer, which is the Shas that is the cornerstone of Gemara markings, the Shas that appears on your screen, we provide topic headings and structural notes from time to time as needed. In this case, we've also indicated a Roman numeral number 1 and 2. This represents Shnei Lishonos, two versions, Bechipus HaMokor, in our search for a source, Lashitas Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, for the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, the Chayav Af Al Kabbalas Adam Shel Baal Mum, that for the receiving of the blood of a blemished animal that's slaughtered as a sacrifice, there would be an offense even for the receipt of the blood in a receiving vessel, that an action done prior to the actual sprinkling of the blood on the Beis HaMikdash. Apparently from that Tanaic source, this was only Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, whereas the Tanakhama didn't make any reference to the prohibition of receiving the blood, even though there were prohibitions with regard to the sanctification, slaughtering, and sprinkling of the blood, and haktorah, and the burning of the animal on the altar. But he, the Tanakhama, didn't make reference to Kabbalah Saddam. That's something unique to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. So now we turn to the Gemara, and we read Omar Mar, the quote from that mentioned earlier, Mishum Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, Af Kabbalah Saddam. Even the receipt of the blood of a blemished sacrifice would be an offense. My time in Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, what is the source for Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda? You'll notice, of course, we have a triangle, and at the outside margin, the triangle represents shlavim, stages, b'havos makoros Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, for bringing a source for Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda's halacha. So we continue in the Gemara, Omar Kra, Umoch v'kosus v'nosuk v'korus, loy sakrivu. This pasuk is a reference to an animal with a blemish, and it says, the pasuk adds, lo sakrivu, zu kabbalas hadam sheomer Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. This lo sakrivu in this pasuk is a reference to the receiving of the blood. And it says, lo sakrivu, so we have an additional negative command. Ula tanakama lo sakrivu lomali, according to the Tanakama, the first opinion in the source on Daf Vav Amud Beis that didn't reference Kabbalah Saddam as a problem, Kabbalah Saddam of a blemished animal. So what does he use this pasuk for? Miboya le lezrikas domim. He uses it as a source for the prohibition of sprinkling the blood of a blemished animal. The Gemara asks, v'ha nafgale me'al hamizbeach. But he learned that out from the phrase me'al hamizbeach in Vayikra, perek chav beis, chav pasuk chav beis. The Gemara answers, Urche de Kra de Mishtoi Hachi. And here the Rabbeinu Gershom, you'll notice we have a little star. You can see in the Rabbeinu Gershom commentary in the lower half of the page. He says, Urchei dekro de mishtoi hochi, al gabi hamizbeach. The expression al gabi hamizbeach is not really a source for a negative command concerning the zrikas hadam. V'lav l'drosha osi, elo delo sakrivu osa. Rather, the lo sakrivu expression is to tell me that. For Zrikas Hadam, and not from Me'al HaMizbeach. Me'al HaMizbeach is a standard of scriptural license. That's Urchei Dekra, the style or the standard way of the Pasuk. Continuing in the Gemara, V'Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, Nami Urchei Dekra Hu. The essence of this question is, and the Rabbeinu Gershom explains, Rabbi Yosi Buda will also be moide that Me'al Mizbeach is Urchei Dekra, and nothing novel is derived from that. He will therefore need Lo Sakrivu for Zrika. So then the question will come back in a moment, where does he learn the Isser of Kabbalah Sadam? So the Gemara says, in Hochinami, you know, you're right, that Me'al Mizbeach is Urchei Dekra, and Lo Sakrivu is needed for Zrika. So Elo Kabbalah Sadam in Ole, where will Rabbi Yosi Bebida learn his unique halacha of Kabbalah Sadam of a Baal Mum as being prohibited? Nafgale, he will learn it, Meho, from the following. The Pasuk says, Umiyad ben Nechor Lo Sakrivu. Zu hi Kabbalah Sadam Sheoma Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. This is to serve as the source for Kabbalah Sadam that Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda had spoken about. Ula Tanakama Hai Lo Sakrivu Lomali. What does the Tanakama learn from this pasuk of Lo Sakrivu in the context of Miyad ben Nechor? Answer, Miboyale Lahai. He needs it for the following. Salka Daita Chamina, Hoyo Volo Nitztavu B'nei Noyach Ela Amachusere Vorim. Since Gentiles are commanded only with regard to problematic animals, not to bring animals missing limbs, but a blemished animal, as long as it's not missing a limb, it's blemished in some other form, it's allowed for B'nai Noach. Lo shno b'mizbeach didhu, v'lo shno b'mizbeach didon. And I would think that the allowance of Baal Mum, of a blemished animal for B'nai Noach, is allowed not only on their personal altars, which is something allowed for Gentiles, but they would also be allowed to bring the blemished animal to Mizbeach Didon, meaning our Mizbeach. As is known, Gentiles are entitled to bring sacrifices. The issue here is, when they bring sacrifices to the Beis HaMikdash, are they going to bring it on their Gentile standard, which means blemished animals are allowed, or are they going to be bound to the Jewish standard, which forbids blemished animals? So, Komash Malon, this Posuk of Miyad ben Nechor lo Sakrivu is telling us that with regard to Gentile offerings in the Beis HaMikdash, blemished animals are not accepted. And therefore, there is a difference made between Mizbeach Didhu, their personal altars that Gentiles are allowed to erect, on which animals, even if they are blemished, are acceptable, just as long as they're not missing a limb, as opposed to a Gentile offering in the Beis HaMikdash, there the higher standard applies, and that's learned from this pasuk that even a blemished animal is not allowed. Lishno Achrina, another version of this discussion. Rabbi Yosi Bibido Omer Af Kabbalah Sadam. As we saw before, Rabbi Yosi Bibido holds that even the receipt of the blood of a blemished animal is an offense. My time, what's his source? Dichtiv. Umoch v'chosus v'chule lo sakrivu. The pasuk goes on to say that shall not be offered. And what does that mean? Zu kabbalah sadam. That's a reference to the receiving of the blood of a blemished animal. Uzrika nafkale me'al hamizbeach. And Zrika, the prohibition of the sprinkling of the blood, that will be learned from me'al hamizbeach. Ulurabona nami tepuk lu zrika min al hamizbeach. Couldn't the Rabbanan also learn out the prohibition of Zrika from this expression? So the Gemara says, Hachinami, that is true. V'yala lo sakrivu democh v'kosus l'may osa. What will the Rabbanan learn from lo sakrivu, from this pasuk of moch v'kosus, which, in fact, Rabbi Yossi B'Yudo used it for the Isser of Kabbalah Saddam, but the Rabbanan don't hold from that Isser of Kabbalah Saddam of a Baal Mum. So what did they learn from this pasuk? Mafkinon lebomas yochid. They learn from this pasuk the din regarding a private altar. And as we learned earlier, Gentiles are entitled to set up private altars. However, they are, when it comes to private altars, so they cannot bring an animal that is missing a limb. This last point regarding the Bomas Yochid we'll clarify. According to this Lushan, we're going to be saying that this Pasuk of Moch V'Kosus and the Lo Sakrivu is telling us that one cannot bring a blemished animal on a private altar. Now, the private altar is something that was allowed once in history. In the time before the Beis HaMikdash was built, there were some interim periods of time that a private altar was something the Torah sanctioned. So we'll assume that this is referring to those periods in time that private altars were allowed. And as such, this pasuk is telling me that a Baal Mum would not be allowed for a Jew to bring on a Bomas Yochid when the Bomas Yochid was allowed. Well, according to Rabbi Yossi B'Yehuda, wouldn't this pasuk be needed for that? In Hachinami, yes, in fact, that is the case. Ela takrivu de kabbalah mino le. Well, then where will Rabbi Yossi B'Yehuda learn his halacha of the prohibition of receiving the blood of a blemished animal, a Baal Mum? Answer, miyad ben nechor lo sakrivu, zu kabbalah sadom. He will learn his halacha from Vayikra Perek Chof Beis Pasuk Chof Hei. V'rabbanan, well, what do they do with this? It's tzrich. They need the pasuk for something else. Sa'kodai techamina, hayol u'b'nei noach ein mitzuvin ela al mechusar ever, v'boma dilhon. Since Gentiles are restricted only with regard to an animal missing a limb when it comes to their private altars, but a blemished animal is okay, Dilmo anan nami nakbil minhon. Maybe we should receive, accept from them, Baal Mums in offering a Gentile sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash. Komash malon mikol eile. We learn from this pasuk, Vayikra, Perek Chof Beis, Pasuk Chof He, Delo mikablinon, that we do not accept. The Rashi points out on the lower part of the narrow lines, Beboma Dilhon, Bebomas Yochid, Sha'osa Ha'ivid Kechavim L'Shamayim, on a private altar that a Gentile made. I might have thought we would accept a blemished animal, V'Kamashmon Mikol Eile, Delo Mekablin, Klomar, Lahochi Lo Mekablinon. For this reason, we don't accept that from the Gentile, the blemished animal, the Oksiv, Ba'u Krod Mikol Eile, the mashma lo sekabel baal mum, hachinami lididhu b'mizbeach hamiyuchad. So too, with regard to Gentiles, with regard to the special mizbeach, at this point in the Gemara, we have a new marking. We see a trapezoid form, sometimes referred to by us as the volcano. On the outside margin, under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we feature this as a ma'akav. Ma'akav is an attempt to keep track of a back-and-forth style of the Gemara. This shape will change position from time to time. So if you scan ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice that the narrow part is sometimes up, and then it flips over down, and then repositions up to keep track of the back and forth style. So what we have here are Nisyonos Shel Reish Lakish, attempts on the part of Reish Lakish, Lefarish Hachiv Deliel Dechayaval Hekdesho Im Hikdish Baal Mum. With regard to the prohibition we learned before of sanctifying a blemished animal, the lo medubar b'makdish b'amum mekora. This is Reish Lakish's attempt to say that it's not referring to an animal that was born with a blemish. Reish Lakish's attempt, though, will encounter resistance, and that's indicated by the flipped over volcano, which we call the chios, rejections. So now turning to the Gemara, maskif lo Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish asks, regarding that which we learned before, that one is in violation of five violations when it comes to the sanctification and offering of a Baal Mum. So Reish Lakish says, Shema lo shaninu, elo betam shenase Baal Mum, hu de over. The chiyuv of lo sakdishu is referring to a case of an animal that was once blemish-free, it was tam, and then became a Baal Mum, then became blemished. D'i Baal Mum Meikora, if one were to think that the prohibition is referring to something, an animal born with a blemish, Dikla bi'almahu. Dikla is literally a palm, it's a tree, a piece of wood. It's just a piece of wood, meaning it never had any chance of being acceptable as a sacrifice, and therefore sanctifying it would have no meaning, and therefore there should be no malchus. Omar le Reb Chiya bar Yosef. Reb Chiya attacks Reish Lakish's observation and says, Sorua v'kalut ksiv v'parsha. In this parsha of sanctification of blemished animals, you have these phenomena. V'hani bale mumin meikoraninu. These are animals, sorua and kolut, are phenomena where the animal is born like that. It's not something that developed later on. So we see that even bal mum meikora, one would be prohibited in sanctifying it as a korban. Omar le shema loy shaninu Ela b'tmura. This is a response that Reish Lakish could offer. Reish Lakish would be responding and saying that this chiyuv, this violation of sanctifying a sarua of a kalut, that may be is in the context of a tmura. In other words, someone took a sorua of a kolut animal, that's a baal mum meikara, and then attempted to replicate the kedusha that was on another animal, another sacrifice, onto this sorua of a kolut, and it's with regard to that we are taught this lav of lo sakrivu regarding the sorua of a kolut. Disnan, the source says, Choymer b'tmura mi bezevach. Tmura has an element of seriousness or strictness that you don't find by standard sacrifices, standard animals that you standard situations where you impose an initial sanctity. Sheken kedusha cholaleil al balmum kavua. We know that tmura is a situation of sanctity that actually does set upon something that is of a permanent blemished nature. So Reish Lakish is maintaining his position that the prohibition of being makdish baal mum applies only to animals that were born as tumim and only later developed a mum. But something that was a baal mum meikara, that would not be wouldn't be included in the prohibition of being makdish a baal mum. As far as soru of a kolut, which was a baal mum meikara, and it says regarding that loi sakrivu, that is in the context of tmura, of setting of of setting aside a sort of a kolot and imposing on them kedusha through tmura. Amar le Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan responds and says, "Loi shem." It says, "Lo shamia loch ha diyamar Rabbi Yanai." Did you not hear what Rabbi Yanai taught? Bechabura nimnu vegamru. In the group of scholars, they decided, they voted and decided. Hamaktish balmum legabi mizbeach oiver mishum hamisho shemos. One who dedicates a blemished animal to the mizbeach is in violation of five prohibitions. Be'i betmura nami. If tmura is the point. If tmura also is a consideration, shisho havyondiko nami lav the tmura, then there would be six violations because the tmura is also a separate negative command. So the pasuk of to suggest that the pasuk of soruva kolut lo sakrivu is going to be restricted to the case of tmura, that is untenable. Elo mai bebalmum meikoro. Well, so then, what do you want to say? It's talking about a balmum, a being makdish, a balmum meikoro. Well, am I lucky? Why should he be guilty of lashes? Diklo bealmahu. Is it not just like a piece of wood? Omar Lay. So he responds that it's not parallel to say that a Balmume Kora should not be guilty of lashing. In other words, someone who sanctifies a Balmume Kora should not be guilty because it's like a piece of wood. It's not exactly the same. Omar Lay, Dikla Lav Zila Milsa. Sanctifying wood doesn't involve something of a denigrating nature. Min eitzim hu. It's a type of wood. Balmume kora zila milsa. But trying to sanctify an animal that was born with a blemish, that is denigrating. Kevon deshovik tumim ve'akdish balei mumin mechayev. Since he consciously avoided or passed up on sanctifying something unblemished and chose to sanctify something blemished, for that he is guilty. Lishno achrino, another version, Omar le afilu hachi. In other words, in response to the claim of why should a balmume kora result in lashes, the response is afilu hachi bazio milsa. It's denigrating. The dekel leko bamino lo loki. When it comes to wood, there is nothing. There is nothing in the realm of wood that is fit for the mizbeach. In other words, you never bring any kind of wood as a sacrifice per se. La fuke balmum, to the exclusion of the case of a balmum, came from the eko bamino loki. Since, like we said before, there are other animals that are fit for the Mezbeach. And since there are those that are fit, and he chose to sanctify something that's not fit, that is denigrating. The idea of passing up on something that's fit and sanctifying specifically something that's not fit. So that's the difference between a Balmume Kora as opposed to the case of wood. Omar Rava. Hashta di Omur Taimo de Balmum de Loki. Now that it has been said that the reason for the sanctification of a balmum, that he gets lashes, mishum de bazio milsayu, because of this consideration of it being denigrating, afilu makdish le ledme nesochim nami loki, even if one were to take an animal that's blemished and sanctify it with regard to its value, the value of this balmum, and to use the money for buying wine offerings, that would also be worthy of lashing. Taking a look at the Rashi at the bottom, Afilu Akdishe Ledmei Nesachim, the Hashtaleka Bizoyin Kolkach, Shein Bemino Roy Lenesachim, even though in this case it's not as denigrating, because a Balmum is not something that you bring as Nesachim. It's not as if there's some animals that are fit for Nesachim and some that are not. Nesachim is a wine offering. V'oid deha l'dami akdeshe. And a further reason for thinking lenience here is that he sanctified it only with regard to its value. Nevertheless, since he sanctified a balmum with respect to bringing its value, selling it and bringing its value as a wine offering, he is guilty of lashing. Tanyo kavose de Rava. We have a long point ahead of us now. You'll notice we have a nun to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line. And this continues down a number of lines down Omid Beis. The Gemara continues now at the top of Omid Beis. We have a Tanaic source. Nedava ta'ase oisoi. This is a reference to a balmum, a blemished animal. And before we go any further in the Gemara, let's just note at the outside margin the nosei, the topic heading, mitzvah lahakdish balemum lebedek habayis velo lemizbeach. It's praiseworthy, and it's a commandment, a mitzvah, to sanctify a balmum to the temple repair fund. However, not as a sacrifice on the altar. So the pasuk says nedavo taso so, and we should mention that this is found in Vayikra Perek Chaf Beis pasuk Chaf Gimel. We've noted this pasuk on the side. You notice we have a little star to draw your attention to the pasuk that says v'shor v'ses saru v'kolut nedavo taso oisoy l'neder lo yeratzet. So we're saying ze kotche berek habayis. This pasuk is a reference to this Nedava Tasoso, is a reference to sanctification to the temple repair fund. V'eimi ela Nedava. Neder minai. Now, the difference between a Neder and a Nedava is a acceptance, a vow, we'll say, that doesn't bear with it a guarantee. It's essentially where a person says, Hare zu, I'm declaring this animal as a dedication to the Berek Habayis. However, a neder is a case where a person says, Hare olai, it is upon me to bring something to the temple repair fund. So a neder is a situation where a person accepts upon himself a personal obligation, a guarantee to come through. So from this nedava ta'asel, so I understand that a balmum can be declared as a nedava type offering to the temple repair fund. Well, how about as a neder? Talmud Lomar, Ula Neder. In the same pasuk, you find that. So that if you read the pasuk from the beginning, you would be reading Vishor Vises or Vikolit Nedova Taso, so Ula Neder. It serves as a nedava and a neder as well. Yochol Afilu Kotche Mizbeach. Could it be that a blemished animal be fit for a sacrificial offering on the altar? Talmud Lomar, Ula Neder Lo Yerotzeh. No, it would not be acceptable as an offering on the altar. Ze Kotche Mizbeach. This expression of Ula Neder Lo Yerotzeh is a reference to altar sacrifices. That the term yerotzeh, ritsui, appeasement, is something that's apropos for kotshei mizbeach. And the pasuk is saying, l'neder lo yerotzeh, don't bring it as kotshei mizbeach, the blemished animal. V'ein li ela neder, nedava minayin, how do I know not to bring a blemished animal in a nedava form, where a person says, hare zu, he would say, hare, pointing to an animal with a blemish and say, I want to dedicate this animal to the altar. Talmud Lomar, nedava. So in the same pasuk, you would be attaching the expression nedava ta'asel so uleneder lo yerotzeh, meaning in addition to the neder, nedava also would not be acceptable. Revi Omer, Lo Yerotzeh, Baharzos, Gufo, Hakosuv Medaber. Very, very similar to what we just said. He says, Harzos Gufo means offering the animal itself as a sacrifice on the Mizbeach. That would be unacceptable when you're dealing with a blemished animal. So the Gemara asks, Hainu Tanakama. The point that Rebbe just said seems to be the same as the first opinion. My lav b'hol komifliki, and if he appears in the source, there must be a point of machlokes. So what is it? Is it not in the following? The Tanakama savar afilu atdeshe l'demei nesachanami loki. Even if one were to dedicate the animal, its value, the value of this blemished animal, for the purpose of buying wine offerings, he would get lashed. Well, that's like Rava said on Amud Aleph, and hence we brought in this source to support Rava. So we see a Tanaic authority holding like that. Rebbe Savar, Partsoas Gufo Loki, Avo B'demeina Sochem Lo Loki. Rebbe would disagree and say that a blemished animal represents a problem and hence lash worthy only when he dedicates it as Harzos Gufo, to offer it itself on the Mizbeach, but to offer its money value as to use the money for buying a wine offering, that would not entail Malkus. Shma Mino, so this is proof of what Rava said. So far, we've darshaned in this pasuk different expressions. We've seen Nedova Taso So Leneder Lo Yorase, but here the Gemara wants to focus on the word Oso specifically. The Ella Oso Lomali, what do I learn from the word Oso? We have a little arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the arrow on the upper part, and you'll see where this word Oso is coming from, and we've included the pasuk as well on the side of the Gemara. So, Oso, what do I learn from this? Lichidisanya, for the following teaching found in this source. Nedova ta'ase oisoi. Oisoi ta'ase nedova, also the Balmum, make as a nedova to the Berek Abayas. Viata oise tomim nedova the Berek Abayas. The word Oso has a limitation connotation, that being that the Balmum is good for this purpose, that's Berek Abayas, but not, when it comes to Berek Abayas, not to offer a Tomim, an unblemished animal, blemish-free animal as a Nedova to Berek Abayas. Mikan Amru, from here we learn, Hamakdish Tamimim LeBerek Abayas Over Basay, one who sanctifies a blemish-free animal to the temple repair fund, he is in violation of a positive command. Uminayin af below sasa, from where do we know that he's in violation of a negative command as well? Shenemar vayadaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. That's the posuk which opens up this section. Limeid al haparsha shehi balav divrei Rabbi Yehuda. The word lemor teaches us that the posuk, that the parsha is also relevant to a negative command. Omar le Rebbe le Bar Kapora, my mashma. Rebbe asks Bar Kapora, how do you see in the word lemor something to do with a negative command? Omar le dichtiv lemor, which equals loy. The word is a contraction. The word lemor means loy ne'emar b'dvorim. Lo is a negation, negative. A negative command is stated over here. Be Rav Amri, in the Yeshiva Rav, they say lemor lav. Amur. It's a very similar take on this, that the word lemor means is a contraction of lav, amur, negative command is taught here. So what we have learned in the last few lines is that if one wants to make a dedication to the temple repair fund, he shall make a dedication of a blemished animal to the temple repair fund, and not an unblemished or a blemish-free animal. One who would dedicate a blemish-free animal to the temple repair fund is said to be in violation of a positive command and a negative command. As you can see, we have a slash mark indicating that that which follows is a new trend of thought, a new idea. On the outside margin, we have the following nosei topic heading, Dinoi Shel Rova. Rova's law, Hamale Evore Baal Mum Lemizbeach, one who brings the limbs of a blemished animal to the altar, Over Mishum Baal Taktiru Kulo, Umishum Baal Taktiru Miktsaso. The prohibition of offering a complete animal and a violation of offering part of an animal. The Gemara, Itmar, Hamala Ivore Bale Mumin, Legabi Mizbeach. One who brings the limbs of a blemished animal to the Mizbeach, Rova Omar, Over Mishum Baal Taktiru Kulo, Umishum Baal Taktiru Miktsaso. Two violations, and hence if he were to bring a complete animal that is blemished to the Mizbeach, he is in violation of two offenses. Abaye Omar, Ein Loikin Alav Shebecholos. One does not receive multiple lashes for a negative command that's stated in a general form. If we look at the Rashi, almost across from here, a few lines down, Alav Shebecholos, Dahaktoras Kulo Miksosa Michad Lav Nafki. The prohibition of offering a complete animal and a part of that animal, if it's blemished, is learned from one pasuk. It says, "V'isha loy sitnu mehem kidapricious liel." We had learned this earlier, and the word mehem was said to mean even miksasan. So Abaye holds that you can't receive multiple lashings for a point, or for two points that are learned from one pasuk. The two points being the prohibition of offering an entire animal that happens to be blemished, or even part of the animal. Just to review the point we're trying to emphasize here is that when Abaye says "ein lokin alav shebecholos," we're using the explanation right now that it means he doesn't get multiple lashes, as opposed to Rava that says he gets two sets of lashes for the offering of a blemished animal. Abaye says he'll get only one set of lashes for that. Meisve hamakdish ba'alei mumin legabi mizbeach over mishum chamisha shemois. We had a Tanaic source that said that one who sanctifies and subsequently offers on the Mizbeach a Baal Mum, a blemished animal, he's in violation of five offenses. In order to get to the number five, we had to say, and we learned this earlier, this was on Daf Vav, we learned that the five offenses include Baal Taktiru Miksoso and Baal Taktiru Kulo, so that we see that there's a separate offense for each one, and a separate malchus for each one, which is contrary to what Abaye said. Tiufta de Abaye, is this a repudiation of Abaye? Amar Abaye, Abaye answers, Begavri Kotoni. This source that mentions five offenses, you're talking about five separate people. And as far as this particular point is concerned, one person offered an entire blemished animal, and the other person offered part of a blemished animal. So, since you're dealing with two separate people, each one is guilty of a separate offense. However, if it were one person offering a complete blemished animal, so Abaye would say he can't get a separate penalty for Kulo and Miksoso. The Gemara asks, E Begavri, if the source is talking about separate people, then linguistically, Over, Ovrin Miboyale. Stylistically, it should have been in the plural. Ovrin means they, the people, all five of them are in violation. But it doesn't say that. It says Over in the singular. Elopshita Bechad Gavra. We're talking about one person who is offering the limbs of a Baal Mum on the Mizbeach. and it said he's over on five shemos, and in order to get to the number five, you'll have to say one of them is Baal Taktiru Kulo, and the other is Baal Taktiru Miksaso, Utyufta D'Abaye. This would be a repudiation of Abaye. Omar Abaye, Apik Chado Minayo. Abaye says, take out one of them. We're talking about one person offering a Baal Mum, and he's going to get five separate lashes. So you're going to take out one of these two. If we have Baal Taktiru Kulo, Baal Taktiru Miksaso, remove one of them from the list. The Ayil Kabbalah Sadam, and say instead that a separate lashing is for the violation of receiving the blood of a Baal Mum. The Gemara asks, Kabbalah Sadam, the Rabbi Yossi B'Yudah, Islay Tanakama Leslay. That's a good explanation only as far as Rabbi Yossi B'Yudah is concerned, but not according to the Tanakama, and nevertheless, the Tanakama has five sets of lashing. And you can't say one of them is Kabbalah Sadam. He doesn't hold from that. So therefore we're going to come back and say one of them is, you have Baal Taktiru Kulo and Baal Taktiru Miktsaso. I have to be counted as two separate sets of violations, two separate violations, and has two separate sets of lashings. And we're talking about one person, Kashia. This is a difficulty. This represents a difficulty for Abaye's position. Lishno Achrina, another version of this last piece of Gemara. V'ha midas Sefer Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yudah hi. From the fact that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yudah, he appears in the Sefer, and he's the one that features Kabbalah Sadam as being a problem. Reisha Rabbanan. The Reisha is not Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yudah. So to say that the Reisha that says you're chayav on five violations for being Makdish Baal Mum, We cannot say one of them is Kabbalah Sadam. That's reserved for Rabbi Yossi B'Yudah, because that's his opinion. The Reisha is the Rabbanan, Tufta D'Abaye. This would appear to be a repudiation of Abaye, Tufta. Yes, in fact it is. Because we see from here, five violations for being Makdish Baal Mum. In order to get to number five, and again, five violations for one person, you'd have to say one of the five is Baal Taktiru Kulo, and the other one is Baal Taktiru Miktsaso, and he's going to get a separate sets of lashes for each one, and hence Abaye's position is refuted. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading, the Nosei, under which we've written, Odom Meimir Al Korbanos Shiloi Velal Shel Achirim. A person, when making Tmura is the replication of sanctity of animals onto another animal. This is something that only a person can do only on his own animals, not with regard to others. The Mishnah, Hakoinim Mimirin B'Shelahen. That's a reference to korbanos that a kohen himself set aside. He himself set them aside, so he sanctified animals as a korban. So on that kind of thing, they can do tumura. Once again, just to remind ourselves, tumura is something that's forbidden to do, but our whole issue is, will it take effect? So we're saying that a kohen can do tmura on an animal that he personally set aside as a sacrifice. V'Yisrael memirin b'shelen. And Yisrael, his tmura would be on animals that they set aside for themselves. Ein ha-kohenim memirin lo b'chatas v'lo b'oshem v'lo b'b'chor. A kohen cannot do tmura from any of these animals that were given to him by a Yisrael to offer on the Yisrael's behalf. Very simply because these are not the Kohen's personal sacrifices. They're not his own. Omar Rav Yochanan ben Uri, Vipnei ma ein memirin b'vachor. Why is there no tmura from a b'chor? Now, in the case of a b'chor, it's given to the Kohen when it's alive. It's not like the chatas and oshem that a Kohen may eat from the meat, but that's only after it was slaughtered. But here we have something that is given to the Kohen when it's alive. So, Does it not become the Kohen's? And if that's the case, should he not be able to do tmura from it? And yet we say that the Kohen is not Meimir from a Bechor. It was taught in the Mishnah, just the line above, we said Kohenim are not Meimir, Chatas, Oshim, Noram, Bechor. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri asks, well, why not? Omar lo, Rabbi Akiva. Chatas v'Oshim, Matana l'Kohen. The Chatas and Oshim are examples of gifts that a Kohen receives. U'Bechor, Matana l'Kohen. And the Bechor as well is a gift a Kohen receives. Ma chas roshim ein memirin bo, just like b'chas and oshim, you agree that there's no tamura, namely that the kohen cannot, kohanim cannot do tamura from the chas roshim that are presented to them to offer. Af b'chor ein memirin bo, so to the b'chor, something presented to the kohen from some outsider, hence he cannot do tamura from it. Omar Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, Mali imeno meimir b'chatz v'osham, shein zochin b'len b'chayeyem. I understand that the Kohen cannot do tmura from a chatz v'osham, and the Kohen doesn't have any share in it when the animal is alive. They get the meat after it's been slaughtered and the blood sprinkled, but not before that. Toimar b'b'chor, should I say the same thing with regard to a b'chor, shezochin bo b'chayov? The Kohen gets the b'chor when it's alive. So does it not become the Kohen's, and shouldn't he be able to do the Tmura? Omar lo, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva responds, V'halo kvar ne'amar, V'hoya hu utmuraso yekodesh. And in this pasuk we see a comparison between a basic korban and the Tmura. There's a Rashi that points this out, hu utmuraso. Rashi on the lower part of the page says, Makish hatmura lehektish atzmo, hechon kedusha chol hektish. Where does sanctity set upon something that one sets aside as a korban? The base habaylim by the owner. Af tmura lo tochel the base habaylim. So to tmura is something that doesn't take hold unless it's in the domain of the original owner. In other words, it's only the original owner that's able to do that. Avol beis kohen lo chaylo legamri, but in the house of a Kohen, in other words, a Kohen who receives a Bechor, he's receiving it from someone else, it doesn't take hold if the Kohen tries to do Tumur from a Bechor. And that's what Rashi explains, that Kohen can't be Meimir from a Bechor. The Yisrael, on the other hand, he would be able to be Meimir from a Bechor because it's in his domain that the Kedusha set in. So just to read the last line of the Mishnah with Rabbi Kiva's response, the pasuk had said, "V'hoya hu utmuraso yeh kodesh hechan kedusha chala alav." Where does kedusha set upon it? Beveis habaylim, af tmura beveis habaylim. So too, the tmura will be chal only if it's the owner and not the kohen that received it. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading which is very long that will last till daf chesam beis. Dinoi shel Rav Nachman. You'll notice Rav Nachman is treated with a firebox. He becomes a main point of focus for quite a long time of Gemara discussion. So we have written on the side, Dinoi shel Rav Nachman, Hodisnan, Bechor Mochonoso, Tam Chai. That which we were taught in the in a Mishnah, which is the Gemara will quote from Maseches Maaser Sheni, that a Bechor can be sold unblemished, alive. Hainu bizman hazeh, that's nowadays. Aval bizman shebeis hamikdash kayam, ein mochin oso tomim chai. An unblemished Bechor cannot be sold. The ein l'kohen zchiyah begavei. The Kohen doesn't have any personal holding in a Bechor Tam in this time of the Beis HaMikdash. What do we mean by that? Is it not so that the Kohen is given the Bechor? That's true. But his rights to it are basically something that he derives from above. And not a doesn't become his to his possession to sell. The Gemara, Tanan Hosam, Bechor Mochen Oso Tam Chai, Ubalmum Chai V'Shochut. A Bechor can be sold unblemished, provided it's alive. If it's blemished, it can be sold alive and slaughtered. Umikachin bo ho'isha. He can use the balmum to mekadesh a woman, to marry a woman. Is considered his momon, his personal money. We should point out that when it says here this mekadesh esoisha, that's the kohen. Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabba Baravua, lo yishanu elo bizman hazeh. This halacha that a bechor could be sold tam chai . This is true only nowadays where there is no Beis HaMikdash. Hayo v'islei l'kayin zechiyo begavei. The reason he can sell it, it's bizman hazeh, it's not going to be offered, there's no Beis HaMikdash through which to offer it. Therefore the Kohen gains his possession of it while it's alive. It becomes the Kohen's. Since it becomes the Kohen's while it's alive, because there is no other destination for it, so he, the Kohen, can sell it. However, when the Beis HaMikdash is around, if it's unblemished, it's designed to be offered on the altar. Ein mochrin oso tamim chai. So it cannot be sold in an unblemished state, because it's destined to the Mizbeach. It has to be offered as a sacrifice. And as such, we say that the Kohen doesn't gain a holding in it. Rather, from the point it's actually offered onwards, that's when the Kohen becomes the owner. So, to speak about the sale of a Tumim Chai, we can speak about that only, Rav Nachman says, Bizman Hazeh, when there is no Beis HaMikdash. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new marking, triangles that appear, and on the Mivneh heading that we have in the outside margin, we have an indication that these triangles will appear until Ches Amud Beis. They represent a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a give-and-take style of Gemara. So with the point facing up, kushios, they represent kashas, problems, questions, mimikoros, from different sources, shemashmein, the yesh l'goin z'chiyo b'tam e'chayim u'delo k'rav Nachman, that a Kohen does have a z'chiyo in the tam, even bizman the Beis HaMikdash, and unlike Rav Nachman. So those will be posed as challenges to Rav Nachman. Then when we see an inverted triangle, those will represent Shuvos' responses to defend Rav Nachman. So continuing now in the Gemara, Esfei Rava l'Rav Nachman. Rava raises an objection. It says, Moichun oisoi tomim chai. The Bechor can be sold alive, tom. Chai in shochut lo. Selling it alive, yes, but slaughtered, no. In other words, a tom that's slaughtered, you wouldn't be allowed to sell. Amos, when is this time period that this source is taught? If it's nowadays when there's no Beis HaMikdash, where would you even have a situation of a tam being slaughtered? It wouldn't be allowed. That would be a problem of kochin b'chutz, slaughtering sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash. Ela pshita bizman shebeis HaMikdash kayam. We have this source that said mochen oso tamim chai, a kohen can sell an unblemished b'chor. That must be speaking Bizman Beis HaMikdash, because it's only then that we can make this inference, Shochut Lo. V'kotoni Nami, and it says, Mochren Oso Tomim Chai. That is a problem for Rav Nachman, because Rav Nachman said that the halacha, the heter of selling it unblemished alive, is only Bizman Hazeh. Here the Tanaic source teaches, it is able to be sold even Bizman Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara rejects this. Rav Nachman would respond, Loi, Li'oilom Bizman Hazeh. The Tanaic source quoted is talking nowadays. Mikotani, does it say Mochur also Tomim Chai in Shochut Lo? Does it say Shochut not in the source? No, it doesn't say that. Ha Gufo Osel Ashminen. This source that says Mochur also Tomim Chai is to teach that halacha on its own merit. That's Ha Gufo Osel Ashminen. Tell it on its own merit and not in order to derive some kind of inference from it. And what's the point that's being told? The Bizman Hazeh Nami Mochrin Oso Tomim Chai. That nowadays, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, it can in fact be sold. And we're not attempting to make any reference to the din of a Shochut. If we look in the Rashi at the bottom, Ha Gufo Kamashmon Klomar Mai Dikotoni Ba Mishneh Gufo. It's Tzirich Hashminan. The point is needed at face value. The Mochen Oso Tomim Chai. That you can sell an unblemished firstborn. But as Rav Nachman says, we're talking about Bizman Hazeh. The Salkadayt of the Les Behuzhir Ad Shipo Bomum. One might have thought that the Kohen doesn't have any holding on it until it develops a blemish. Vela, okay, that's what I need this to be told. I need to be told that you're able to sell Bizman Hazeh a Bechor that's blemish free. V'lav mishum de teduk mino shochut lo. And this source is taught without any intention to include the inferred case. The inferred case of shochut lo. Toho bizman hazeh komairi, bizman hazeh leko tam shochut. The source is talking about nowadays, and there is no situation of a slaughtered tam, because as long as there is no Beis HaMikdash, an unblemished firstborn remains sanctified, and there is nothing else you can do with it. Therefore, we're not talking about the source is not talking about the time of the Beis HaMikdash. It's talking Bizman Hazeh, where there is no situation of Tam Shochut. And what does it reveal? That a Tam Chai is able to be sold. And that's in accordance with Rav Nachman's point. And the Chiddush, once again to review, the Chiddush is that one shouldn't think that the Kohen gets a holding Bizman Hazeh only upon the appearance of a blemish. Not true. The Kohen has a full holding on it, Bizman Hazeh, even when it's still blemish free. And as such, since the Kohen has a holding on it, he is able to sell it. He'll sell it to whoever he sells it to. They'll have to be very careful, though, not to work with it or shear it. They'll hold on to it until it develops a mum. We're in the middle of a very long sugya, but at this point we've finished our daf, so with that we conclude our shiur for today.